Okay. The Shmooze this evening is sponsored by David Richter in honor of a nace a number of years ago. He was in a very serious situation, and as a Karas HaTov to Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's sponsoring this year. Thank you, David. When the Constitutional Congress met, one of their responsibilities was to put forth a theme, to put forth a philosophy for generations to come. And what they did when they wrote the preamble to the Constitution, when they wrote the Constitution itself, was to set forth the theme for hundreds of years to come. That was man's attempt to set something forth, and they did a rather remarkable job. But it's minuscule in comparison to what Chazal did, because when Chazal set forth certain principles, certain broad statements, they were writing statements of sweeping nature for literally thousands of years. Their definitions of human behavior, their definitions of the essence of who the person is, was supposed to run across the gamut of all human beings for all generations. And with that as a backdrop, I'd like to read a Gemara that I find rather perplexing. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rabba Bar Rav Huna says, Kol HaKois, whoever gets angry, afilu Shechina ina chashuva kenegdo. Even the Shechina, even Hashem himself, is not important to that person. Whoever gets angry, even Hashem, is not important to that person, even to that extent. Now, the problem with this statement of Chazal is as follows. This is speaking about many, many different types of people. People who are moderate, Yerei Shamayim, people who are sincerely God-fearing, and people who are deeply, fundamentally God-fearing. Imagine for a minute you have a person who is very, very pious, spent many, many years working on his Yerei Shamayim, and he also gets angry. Why does it naturally follow suit that Kol HaKoyes, whoever gets angry, even the Shechina, even Hashem, is not important? There are two very distinct issues. There's my temper. I have a little bit of a temper. I lose myself. I get a bit carried away. And then there's my level of Yerei Shamayim, my appreciation of Hashem's presence, my awareness of Hashem. That piece is very distinct from one to the other. One, the temper issue is an emotion. Understanding the Shekhinah's presence is a value system. The two seem to have nothing one to do with the other. And yet, Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Huna, Kol HaKoyes, whoever gets angry, even the Shekhinah is not Chashuva Kenegdo. And I'd like to see this evening if we could get a better understanding of how Kas, how anger functions, and see if we can understand the statement. And let me begin with an interesting statement that the Aruch HaTzaddikim says. He says as follows. You'll see many people who will do various activities in a state of anger that they will not do when they're not angry. Osim harbe dvarim. They'll do many things when they're angry that they won't do without the kas. And even though we've all seen this, and even though I think we're all familiar with this, I'd like to ask a very simple question. Why is that? If I am a certain type of person, if I am a certain kind of individual, why is it that if I have anger, I'll act differently than if I didn't have anger? The two, again, seem to have nothing to do with one another. Let me give you a good for instance. There was a story about an English soccer fan, and apparently a very diehard soccer fan, because when England was excluded now from the World Cup, they lost the game, he got so furious that he took his foot and smashed it through his TV set. Now, he had two problems on his hands at that point. Number one, his team lost. Number two, his TV was broken. So, being a bit resourceful, what did he do? He called the TV repairman, and he found a third reason to be upset, because the TV repairman told him he can't fix it now. Why? Because there was a flood of calls of people who put their foot through their TVs, and he can't come to repair it now. So he had three issues: his team losing, his TV, and he can't get the thing fixed. Now, here's a very interesting observation. The man's team lost, and he was upset. What did he gain by putting his foot through his TV? The answer is nothing. Isn't that a foolish, very, very stupid thing to do? Let me give you one more example, because I think when we study the examples, we'll get an interesting observation. Two secular Israelis are having a fight about a parking space. Who got there first, who had the right to it, etc. So the one guy gets out of the car and looks at the other fellow and says, "You're stupid!" And the other guy points a finger back to him and says, "You're even stupider!" I'm even stupider. You're the stupidest guy in the whole city. Well, then you're the stupidest guy in the whole country. Well, then you're the stupidest guy in the whole world. Well, then you're the stupidest guy in the whole universe. But they were grown men. Grown men fighting over parking space, saying the word, you're stupid. No, you're stupid. A city, country, world, universe, globe, cosmos. You can't get bigger. All right, you win. It's a tie. They're both. What are you talking? What are you doing? And even though we see anger on a regular basis, and we kind of identify, the question is, what's pshat? What is going on when you have a mature, thinking, rational person? He might have a very prestigious position. He may be very influential, and he begins acting like a child, doing things that are very, very foolish. And when you see this happening, you have to become a student of human nature. You have to ask yourself, what's pshat? And I'd like to share with you one quizzical statement that Chazal say. Shimon ben Loza says, name of Rabbi Yochum ben Nuri, Hamakari begodov bechamoso, one who rips his clothing in anger. Vamashaber kelov bechamoso, one who breaks his kelim in anger. Yiyeh be'enecha ka'ovid avodah zarah, in your eyes it should be as if that man bowed down to idols. One who breaks his kelim, one who breaks his vessels in anger, one who rips his clothing in anger, you should view him as an oved avodah zarah. And then the Gemara in Shabbos goes on to explain why. Shekach umnoso sheyetzahara. Because that is the operative mode of the Yetzahara. Hayom omlo asakach. Today he says do this. Lamach omlo asakach. And tomorrow he says do the next step until he tells him to serve avodah zarah. Now let's analyze that Gemara for a moment. And let's ask the same line of questioning. We have a person who did something foolish. He broke his own TV set. He ripped his clothing in anger. Now let's admit for the moment he's dumb. He did something very foolhardy. What the Gemara is saying is, when you see that happening, look at that man and look at him and say, that is if as if he served the Avodah Zarah. Why? Because it's just the next step till he serves the Avodah Zarah. I think when you see Gemara like that, you have to ask, it doesn't make much sense. Because, again, he's foolish, he did something dumb, but that has no connection to serving idols, no connection to Avodah Zarah. What does this Gemara mean? And I think when we begin to focus on this, we'll get a better understanding. A good while back in Shmooz number 30, Anger Management, I mentioned something and it bears repeating. By the way, I have an advantage over most people. You see, I speak outside of TBT circles, so I get to repeat old Shmuzim. So as a result of that, if I'm in a community and, you know, I can speak about whatever I want, I get to pick old Shmuzim, so I get to chazer them. And I've chazered Shmuz number 30, Anger Management, and so it's fresh in my mind. But I really recommend, if you want to work on this, that you have to work on these two Shmuzim sort of in tandem. It's very worthwhile to go back to that Shmuz. But let me recap one small point from that Shmuz that I think is very important. And that is as follows. Typically, when we get really, really angry, it never starts with a rage, with a fury. Unless you have a chronic anger problem, the much more typical situation goes something like this. Somebody says something that was inappropriate. It was a bit nasty, maybe underhanded, and I get ticked. Not hugely angry, just annoyed. If it stayed at that point, I would not have an anger problem. We wouldn't be having this discussion here this evening. But there's something subtle that begins happening. You see, when he says that line initially, and I'm a bit annoyed, what happens is within my brain, there's a tape that begins playing. There's what we call self-talk, and I start reviewing. And I start reviewing and repeating. And I repeat that line he said, and I sort of dwell on it, and I sort of let it sort of simmer, and I say it again and again. And each time I say it over to myself, I appreciate with a greater level of understanding what chutzpah that guy had. After what I've done for him, after what I've gone out of my way to do for him, the chutzpah to do that and in public and to say that kind of line. And as I brew, I go from level one of just being kind of mildly irritated, I begin getting a bit heated. And as I brew a bit more and I say it over again and again, I go to the next level till I get angry. And when I'm angry, I begin really stewing on it and I begin to really appreciate the absolute audacity of what he's done. And now I'm moving into the higher range. I'm getting very close to rage. And if I sit there long enough, I'll hit that absolute apex of fury and I will be bechema, af vechema. I will be absolutely furious. And a very interesting thing happens. If you've ever had the experience where you're livid, raging mad, what you find is you're a very different person. You're no longer cool, calm, and collected. You're no longer thought out. You'll do many, many things in that state that you would never dream of doing. Because would you like to know what's happened? You are now out of control. You see, something has taken over you. Almost like a monster inside, this thing that we call an anger, a temper, kas, has taken control, and like a monster that's gotten out of the box, it's taken over you, and you have lost control. You're now a very, very different person. Let me show you an example. There was a Yugoslavian amateur basketball player, and they were playing a game. The referee made a call. This fellow didn't like the call that the referee made. He went over to the concrete pillar that supported the basket, took his head, rammed it, smash, right into the concrete, passed out unconscious, and became a vegetable. He cracked the stem of his brain, and he effectively destroyed his life. Now that is not an intelligent thing to do. Not very smart. Why did he do it? Because he was out of control. Because when the referee made that call, he was enraged. There was fury. That monster took over, and the rational, sane person was no longer there. There was a different individual, a different person. He was consumed by his anger, and he, the normal person, wasn't there. Someone else was there, someone else acting differently. Now, this may sound a bit hard to hear, because what do you mean monsters and boxes? Come on, Rabbi, that's, you know, for kids. That's not the real game. Let me give you an interesting illustration. Winston Churchill was a phenomenal statesman. However, he was also a bit salty and a consummate drunk. At one dinner party, when he was drunk, which was not atypical, Lady Astor, who was sitting next to him, looked at him at a certain point and said, "Mr. Churchill, you are drunk." At which point, Mr. Churchill looked over at Lady Astor and said, "Lady Astor, you are ugly. But tomorrow morning, I'll be sober." Now, whether he should have said the line or not, here's the point I'd like to share with you. What he said was very, very deep. Right now, I am drunk. There is a different person here now than will be here tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, Winston Churchill would never talk that way to Lady Astor, but right now the tongue is loose. There are things he'll do, things he'll say because he's in a different state of mind. And if you've ever seen a person who's drunk, you understand that they act differently. Watch a fellow on Purim and things come out. Things that he would never dream of saying, statements that you would never, ever dream he ever thought of, comes out, they all start pouring out, and you see a very different person. A person when he's drunk is not the same person when he's sober. And as a mushal nimshal, when a person is ba'af v'chema, furious in rage, he is a different person. He's drunk. He's no longer in control. His mind is no longer functioning. His mind is no longer stopping him from saying the things he wouldn't say. And you'll see people do many, many things. When Chazal say, if you break your keli in anger, it's like you served the Avodah Zarah. You know why? Because what you're demonstrating clearly is you've lost control. Once you've given up control, that means the Yetzirah is in charge. Today he says, break your kalim. Tomorrow he says, serve the Avodah Zarah. You are putty in his hands. Because what you're doing is absolutely foolish. You're gaining nothing. When you put your foot through your TV set, you didn't now all of a sudden put England back into the World Cup. You didn't now change history. What you've done is absolutely, totally ridiculous. And what it shows is that you're out of control. And when you're out of control, you're no longer the human. You're no longer the master of your ship. The next step is who knows what. And you'll see people do many, many things in their anger they wouldn't normally do because they lost control. And I believe that that's exactly pshat in this chazal. Rabbi Rav Huna says, kolakoli kois, afil shchina ina chashuva kenegdo, means as follows. You could have a tremendous level of Yir Shamayim. You could spend years, decades working on it. But if you reach that stage called rage, called fury, nothing matters because you're like a drunk. You're a different man. You may normally, in your regular state of mind, see Hashem right there. You wouldn't dream of doing things. You wouldn't dream of saying things. But that's the normal person. That monster has taken over. You're now drunk. You're in a different state of mind. You'll say things. You'll do things. Even the Shekhinah. It matters not how much you value Hashem's presence. It matters not how much you understand the damage that's going to be brought upon you. Because you're out of control. There was a fellow, this is a story that I believe has been, it's true. There was a fellow who was in prison for killing a man. And this was the day that he was to be released. He is waiting online to make a telephone call home to tell him to pick him up. The person in front of him stayed a bit too long on the phone. The guy who's being released that day lost his temper, smashed the other guy in the head, killed him. And obviously remained in prison for a whole lot longer. Now it may sound utterly ridiculous. It may sound totally out of control. And while it's true, it's a bit extreme. It's but the regular you and I to a bit more. Just a bit further along the spectrum. And what Chazal are telling us is, if you allow this state to happen, if you allow yourself to hit that stage called rage, called fury, you're no longer in control, you're a different person, then you've changed. You're like a drunk, even Hashem doesn't matter. You'll say things to people, you'll do things that are absolutely unacceptable to you normally. You've changed, you become a very different person. And I think this is a very important illustration to the extreme of the Midah. However, the reality is that most of us don't get to that stage that often. We'll have moments of real fury, real anger where we turn red, we turn livid. But most of the time it stays in the lesser range. And much of our work is on the lesser range. But if it ever, ever happens to you, once in 10 years even, that you really lose it, that's something to understand that needs to be worked on. And I'd like to share with you what I consider a few basic techniques to working on the Midah, whether it's a small amount of anger, a full rage, or anything in between. And the first thing to understand is that the human is very complex. When you deal with the question of why I get angry, there are a number of different layers to that question. The first thing that will determine whether I get angry or not is my general temperament, or what we'd call my simchas achayim, meaning as follows. The Rosh Yeshiva would often say to us, if you just won the $100 million lottery, wow, I'm rich, it's great, life is great, and somebody steps on your toe, what would your reaction be? You'd hug him, did you hear the news? Did you have, oh, come on, you got to share this with me. You wouldn't be upset with him. You wouldn't say something because you're so ecstatic, you're so happy that nothing matters. And if you really reach a high level of simchas achayim, you're genuinely happy, you're pleased with yourself, you understand what you're doing in this world, and you've reached a point where you're really, really comfortable with yourself, you will be angry to a much less extent and much less often. So simchas achayim is the first area. And the second layer that complicates things is the midah itself. In Shmuz number 30, anger management, we discussed that the anger itself tends to increase or decrease depending on use. Much like a muscle, that with use will increase, with disuse will atrophy. The midah itself shrinks and grows. The third level, the third layer in terms of anger, is what we call interpretation. You see the same line by the same person in a different setting, I will interpret one way. and all interpreted differently in a different setting. And let me give you a good for instance. This has happened probably, I mentioned this before, that it's happened probably to every Kala at some point. She gets married, and then after the first year Shana Rishona, they're walking in the street, and next to her husband she's walking, when she hears somebody from across the street go, "Hey, stupid! Hey, you're still as ugly as you used to be!" And she's like, "Oh my goodness, what kind of higher raw is talking that way?" And she sees her husband look, and her husband walks right across the street. "Oh my goodness, it's going to be a street fight, who knows what?" Husband walks right over to the guy, puts his face in his side, and goes, "Hey buddy, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I haven't seen you since high school." Oh, it's guy talk. That's just the way guys talk. "Hey, ugly, I haven't seen you since high school. Yeah, you're still as ugly." Now, here's the point. When that man was walking down the street, and he heard the words, "Hey, you're still as ugly as you used to be," he turned and looked. In a flash, there was a moment of interpretation. Who said it? What was the context? What was the meaning? What was the setting? What did it mean? And in that flash, he interpreted it as either a very, very rude, nasty comment, or just guy talk, somebody I knew in high school, just kidding around. But that's a nanosecond of interpretation. Many times, people are pre-programmed to misinterpret. They've spent much time misinterpreting. They've spent various, maybe years, misreading people, and they misinterpret things. Now, number one, Simchas L'Chaim, number two, the meat itself, and number three, interpretation, are very, very difficult to work on. They take years and years and years. And I'd like to share with you, and I think there's a much easier way to stop much of our difficulty with anger. Should you work on number one, two, and three? Absolutely. But there's a much easier way to stop almost all of our anger. And that's to understand the progression that we talked about before. And that is that the progression begins at a very small point. And really almost always starts at the point when I'm just slightly irritated. And it's when I allow that to play over and over and over in my brain that it goes from irritated to annoyed to heated to angry to rage to fury, and it goes up like that triangle until you hit that stage called real rage. And the way to stop self-talk is with very simple observations. The first observation I think really we'll all agree on, and that is the following. Here's a question to ask yourself when you have some time. The question is, when are you permitted to get angry? Right? When are you permitted to get angry? And I'd like to share with you the answer to that question. I believe that the answer to that question is never. And I'll share with you why. You're allowed to get angry at a rasha. How many people have you met in your life who fit that category of a rasha? I guarantee it's not your boss, not your wife, not your coworkers, not your neighbor, not your siblings, not your children. You see, the people we get angry with are not in the category of Rishayim. So the first step you have to understand is that it is usur, it is forbidden for me to get angry. Whether it's fury, whether it's rage, whether it's angry, whether it's heated, whether it's even annoyed or irritated, that whole spectrum is something that I'm not allowed to do. Now, you may say, "Oh my goodness, I'm in big trouble," but let's just work it through for a minute. Just like you are not allowed to eat ham on Shabbos or on Sunday, whether you're tired and irritable or very comfortable, whether somebody said something very nasty to you or not, you're forbidden to eat ham Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos, no matter what, no matter when. So too, understanding that it is forbidden to be angry, I think will come a very long way to helping us work on kas, because again, what it will do is, if you think about it, it'll help us stop the self-talk when I take it from a little bit annoyed to ticked to heated to angry. Let me share with you another stage. Another stage is as follows. Here's a very interesting observation. Do you ever notice that a guy who gets angry never says as follows? The truth is, I really was wrong. I punched him in the jaw, but not only shouldn't I have punched him in the jaw, I was really wrong in the whole thing. You ever notice the guy, when he's really angry, may say, well, I shouldn't have punched him, but I was sure right. And it doesn't matter how many times a day he gets angry. If he gets angry 30 times a day, he's always right. All right, granted, I shouldn't have screamed. I shouldn't have yelled. I shouldn't have gone that far. But what he did was wrong and I was right. And when you study this thing called anger, what you find is invariably, every single time when I'm angry, I am absolutely justified in my anger. Maybe not my reaction, maybe I went too far, but my anger was 100% justified. And I'd like to share with you why that is. Let's go back to our spectrum. Imagine for a moment you say something that gets me slightly annoyed. What happens at that moment is I get just a little bit ticked off. And in that moment, there's just a little bit of coloring that comes into my glasses. They sort of go a little bit pink. And then as I think about it some more, and I realize the chutzpah of you to say that, those glass colors turn from pink to maybe pink lemonade, maybe a little bit rosé. And as I think about it some more, that pink starts darkening. And before you know it, that pink is beginning to hit a hot pink. It becomes brick red, rich burgundy, apple red, scarlet red. And my vision is vastly distorted. You see, when I get angry, what happens is it's not that there's kas, there's anger, and there's seichel, and there's intellect. There's I. I'm angry. And once I'm angry, my vision is distorted. My view of the world is wrong. And because my view of the world is distorted, there's nothing I can do to stop the self-talk. Why? Because I'm right, you're wrong, you have the absolute audacity and chutzpah to do what you did. You should never have done it. And therefore, I am in very serious trouble. And if you understand that this is the nature of it, and you also understand that kas should be very, very difficult to work on. Because once you've said one thing, that tape in my mind is going to play again and again, and I'm going to work myself into that fit, and get more upset, see you as worse, and see you as more egregious, they get more angry, and the scale should ever increase, and I should always escalate, and there should be no solution for the self-talk problem. However, I believe that there is one very simple solution. Number one, knowing it's forbidden. And number two, knowing the following yesod. I am angry. I'm angry. I'm really upset. And if you could ever catch yourself and say to yourself the following words, I'm angry, I'm really angry, that's when you have a chance of saving yourself. You know why? Because if I'm angry and I recognize that, if I'm angry and I understand that my mind is distorted, my seichel is off, my vision isn't clear, I can stop the self-talk. I can tell myself it's absolutely forbidden, I'm not allowed to get angry, and I can stop that tape in my brain and I can prevent it from saying again and again what you've done wrong. However, my friends, it's not that easy to recognize when you're angry. And we all may think, what do you mean? I know when I'm angry, I get a temper, I get angry. I'd like to share with you, it's not so simple. I'd like to give you what I consider a very good mushal for this. There is in the world something called food testers, taste testers who, for a living, what they do is they go and work for very large corporations and they test food. But they don't taste food as you and I taste food. They have a very developed palate, very sophisticated, and they taste with extraordinary discrimination. If you'd like to know what I mean, here's a taste test that you can try at home. If you have a sophisticated palate, you can probably tell the difference between Coke and Pepsi. Even without the label, even without the can, if you're very good at this, somebody could put the Coke here, put the Pepsi next to it, and you can tell the difference. What about the following? 3 cups, unmarked, 2 of them have Coke, 1 of them have Pepsi, and you're asked the following question. Taste them and tell me which 2 are different than the 3rd. Which 2 taste differently than the 3rd? They've done this with thousands of people, and invariably, approximately 1/3 of the people get it right, which means about the same odds as a lucky guess, almost no one can effectively tell you which of the three is the different, which two are the same, because you'll taste one, and then you taste the next one, and then it tastes the third. But wait a minute, what does the second one taste like? What does the first one taste like? And being able to taste it, identify that taste, hold it in your mind when I don't know what it tasted like. I don't know, was it raisiny, vanilla? It was a little bit sweet, tart. I don't know. And there's no language that you have to taste it with. However, there is a whole body of food testers. They work for General Mills. They work for the various food companies who can do this time after time after time because they've developed a very sophisticated palate. And as a matter of fact, they have ratings. They'll look at 44 different types of jams that are on the typical supermarket shelves, and instantly they'll tell you the sweetness, the texture, the aroma, and they'll identify it. But it's not just that they'll identify it as sweet or not. They'll tell you whether Knox berry has a degree of difference from Acme down to a percentage point. They will take a mayonnaise, and this is a rather interesting thing, and they'll rate it by color, shine, lumpiness, and bubbles. They'll tell you the texture, the adhesiveness to the lips, firmness, the denseness. They'll tell you the aromatic, eggy, or mustardy percentage of it. They'll tell you salt, salty, sour, or sweet. When you introduce these people to Oreos, oh my goodness, Oreos, 90 attributes. Two women were able to define 90 attributes in Oreo cookies. That is mind-boggling, but they do it time after time because they've developed such a precise sense of taste, and they're hired and paid serious salaries because a production batch that comes out tasting a tad different, you and I won't understand why, but it tastes differently. Now, I'm not recommending that you spend an awful lot of time discerning texture, flavor, aromas, the difference between Oreo and Chip Ahoy cookies. But what I am saying is follows. If you train yourself in one very key thing, I believe you'll go a long way in working on Kas. And that key attribute is something called discernment, to be aware of your moods and to be aware of the critical bell ringing noise that should go off in your head when you hear the word angry, as in, I am angry. And if you train yourself to be attuned to your emotion, to feel that emotion, what does anger feel like? Oh, that's an unusual kind of anger. I never felt this kind of anger. This one's rage. This is fury. This is real. This is road raging. Cut me off. Ah! And if you train yourself to feel it, and train yourself to be accustomed and be able to identify it, you now major leagues ahead in terms of being able to work on the Midah. Because once you understand that you're angry, you're now in a different position. You see, the typical person doesn't understand that they're, I'm not angry. What he did was blah, 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 and he's wrong. And they'll go on a whole tirade explaining to you why that guy was wrong, that guy was a creep, and that guy was so, because he did cut me off. Well, not exactly, but it sort of looked like he might have somehow. And that point is a very, very dangerous thing to be in. Why? Because it's not just that you're out of control, you have no ability to put the brakes on. Because I'm not even aware of who I am, I'm not aware of what's going on, and I'm out of control without any system to prevent it. The system to prevent many, many occurrences of anger is to stop the self-talk, to understand that it is forbidden for me to get angry. Just that understanding goes very far. Because once I understand it's forbidden, once I feel I'm getting angry, I can say, I'm not allowed to do this. But I can't allow myself to get more angry. I have to prevent myself, and I have to stop myself. The righteous indignation cannot exist, because what I'm doing is I'm going over the line. And one last step that I think is key for working on anger. You ever hear the words, he caused me to get angry? He ticked me off. He did it, and it's his fault. When you abrogate responsibility, when you blame it on other people, what you're doing is exactly that. You're putting the blame on other people, but that's not at all what happened. You know what happened? I got angry. I allowed myself to get angry. I allowed myself to go from ticked to annoyed, to heated, to angry, to rage, to fury. I allowed that to happen to me. And I can control that. The easiest way to control it is on level 4 on the self-talk, because that's the progression. You see, to work on Simchas Achaim, if I'm really, really happy with myself and with life, I'm not going to get angry. But that takes years and years. Should I do it? Absolutely. To work on the Midah itself means not to get angry. And if you don't get angry long enough, the Midah begins shrinking and shrinking, and it becomes easier. But these things take years and years to work on. And interpretation, to learn to reinterpret what people mean, to learn to reinterpret what people intend, takes decades sometimes to work on. Those three are very hard. But the fourth area, self-talk, is very simple. All I have to do is recognize what anger is. It's a beast, it's a monster that will take over, it's out of control. And if I can learn to taste the taste, feel the flavor, understand what anger is, then I can train myself to stop. I will not allow my mind to be taken over. I am in control. And if someone does something that annoys me slightly, I'm going to stop at that level. I will not repeat the statements. I won't go over it and over it and over it. I think there's a tremendous lesson to learn from Amar Rav Huna. And that is Kol HaKois. Anyone who gets angry, fury, rage, even the Shekhinah has no chashivas to him. You know why? Because he is out of control. Like our buddy who put his foot through the TV. That's a foolish thing to do. Why'd you do that? You broke your own TV. You're out of control. Like the Yugoslavian basketball player who smashed his head into the concrete pillar. What kind of fool are you? But the answer is he's not a fool. He's out of control. Chazal explained to us, if you break your kelim b'chamaso, if you rip your clothing in anger, you break your kelim in anger, you are out of control. The Yetzer is taking over. And like a drunk, you're not the same man. What's normally important to you is no longer important. You're normally being a very, very careful individual. You'll only say things with very extreme caution, not to hurt other people's feelings. But the minute you get angry, the tongue starts wagging, and it doesn't matter who it is, your kids, your wife, your boss, and you say things you normally never would say. Why? Because you're a different person. You're out of control. And understanding that it's very rare that you go from 0 to 60 in a heartbeat, much more common, it starts and it builds and it builds and it builds and it builds and it builds. And understanding that progression means that I can prevent it. Step one is understanding it is forbidden for me to get angry. No matter how much my justification, no matter how much you know what he said, you know who he is, all of those things are nonsense because you're allowed to get angry at a Russia. Other than a Russia, you're not allowed to get angry. If you want to be machanech your children, there's something called kaspanim. You ever do it with a little child? When my kids were little, I was pretty good at it. You get angry at them and you say, you should never do this, 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 and you look away and you smile. But you really smile because it's kaspanim, it's a fake. But when you're getting angry at your kids and you're frustrated and you're raising your voice, it's very rare that that's kaspanim. That's anger. And unless your kids are ashamed, which I certainly doubt and I certainly hope isn't true, there's no justification. You're not right. Yeah, but you know what my kid did? You know what that brat did? No, 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 no. What he did is what he did, but what you're doing is forbidden. It's eating ham, whether it's Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's kas, and that's usher. And understanding that it's usher can stop me, hopefully, right there and allow me to stop it where it is. I'm irritated, I'm annoyed. Again, if I get irritated and annoyed from today till the last day of my life on this planet, I'm not going to have a kas problem. The problem is that it builds, I say it over, I repeat it over, and I become drunk. And once I become drunk, my visual perception changes. My glasses go from pink to rosé to brick to blazing red, and I can no longer see things straight. Everything you do now becomes something that's part of the scheme. Every statement you've ever made to me is part of it because I'm a drunk. I'm rereading everything you've done and I'm building my af, my chema, my fury, my rage until I become out of control. But understanding what I'm doing is I'm allowing myself to be taken control of. I'm giving up, I'm relinquishing control is a very scary thought. The first step is identifying, becoming aware and understand it, and then you could start dealing with it. I'd like to close with one last observation. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and it says, Yihi kovod chavercha lecha kishalcha, the respect of your friend should be on you like your own. Treat your neighbor with the same respect you would like V'alti noach lichos, and don't be quick to anger. Would you like to know what the Tiferes Hashol says pshat in this Mishnah is? They're not two separate things. It's not like be careful with your friend's honor and something else altogether. Don't get angry. They're actually interrelated in a very real way. He says the vast majority of our machlokasim, the vast majority of our situations where I get angry, start with the following. One or the other treated his friend with a slight lack of kavod. There was a little indiscretion. He acted with a little bit of not proper dishonor. And that started it. Because when my friend treats me with e-kavod, when my friend sort of like disses me, I feel it. And I retaliate. And when he feels my retaliation, he gives it back to me. When I give it back to him, he gives it back to me. And before you know it, we have a full-scale, raging machlokas. It says it to our soul, that's rove. Most of the machlokas and most of the arguments, most of the fights that we get into involves those situations. And now, my friends, I'd like to give you the most important piece of advice for all human relations. I cannot stress this enough and enough. If you will train your tongue to do one thing, your life will be so much easier, so much sweeter. Whenever you can, as often as you can, find something in your friend, in your wife, in your children to compliment. A compliment is the most powerful tool you can imagine. It makes people feel happy. It makes them feel good. But more than that, from a selfish perspective, it makes them like you. I like when people say nice things about me. I feel good about myself. You made me feel good about me. Hence, I like you. And from a purely selfish perspective, the best favor you could do yourself in every human relation is to train your tongue to give compliments freely, abundantly, lavishly, as often as you can. And it's not that hard. I don't mean you have to call everybody Einstein and find everybody to be the next Rabbi Kveger, but every human being, if you look at them, has some mila, some advantage, some strength, and if you train your tongue to say those words, your life will be so much pleasant. Your machatonim will actually like you. What that means in plain language is you'll get along with whether your mother-in-law, your brother-in-law, your sister-in-law, your uncle, everyone will enjoy your company. And instead of the fights and the family feuds and the various things that disrupt so much enjoyment out of life, life will be like a carpet ride. You will not believe the difference in your life and the difference in the way people treat you if you can just train yourself to, as often as you can, find positive things in people and mention it. It sounds rather amazing that people don't do it. But if you would hear the way people talk, I'm sometimes aghast and sometimes blown away by the stupidity of people who criticize, who knock, who damage so much in terms of relations because of just foolhardiness, not understanding human nature. When you put a person down, even if you're funny, even if it's a good line, I promise you they're not happy about it. When you've embarrassed somebody, whether to a big extent, to a small extent, I promise you they're not like, oh wow, I really love that guy because he put me down, he stuck me out in public and everybody knows that I'm a jerk. I really appreciate his company. And you may have gotten a big laugh and everybody kind of, yeah. But at the end of the day, forget Malbim Panei Chaver Barabim, that guy doesn't like you. That guy harbors something in his heart against you. And you better believe the next time you're going to get it back. And again, my friends, for purely selfish reasons, if you train yourself to compliment, you'll find life much easier. You'll get along much, much better with your boss, with your wife, with your children, with your coworkers. And the basis of it all is understanding human nature. Humans are highly volatile. I have a temper. That's the nature of me. If you treat me with dishonor, I'm going to feel it, and I'm going to get upset. You're going to get upset. And before you know it, there'll be a conflagration, there'll be a fire, there'll be an eruption. But that's how we are. So understanding that requires wisdom and putting forth wise words to guard yourself, wise words to sort of gently pave the way. Give a person a compliment, and no longer are they dishonored. The opposite, they feel your presence and enjoy it, and you find yourself in a much better way. May Hashem grant us the wisdom, understanding, and ability to put this into practice.